community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
In the studio with me this afternoon, we've actually got Alan and Nev. Alan's a news editor for the Brentwood Gazette, and Nev is the editor. Morning, boys.
Hiya, how you doing?
I've got me, morning.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what time of day it is,
Catch up.
Come on, I don't know. Tell me about it. Right, we're going to have a nice little bit, nice little chat this afternoon about what's going on in
a
the
nice
news.
A nice little
paper.
Mix.
Yes. I saw what you did there.
Yeah, you see like that.
I saw what you
and
did there.
That is why I work in journalism. that's why. It's for these moments.
I saw what you did there. I like that. We're recording this, so that'll be on the website.
I know.
I want to talk to you about. I saw the front page story of the Brentwood Gazette this week.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest story I think I've ever read, and it's quite serious as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Alan, tell us about it, because it's kind of followed it closely. I mean, Alan actually spoke to the victim, didn't you?
Yeah, it's the dog attack. It's the one that everyone's talking about, really. People have been going mad on our website. People have been sharing it. So many people share it. Celebrities have retweeted the story. It's a really shocking story, really, for Brentwood. Not something you get here very often. The story goes, Friday night, a young girl was walking a dog near Brentwood Railway Station. She was approached by a chap who walked up to her, tried to grab the dog's lead.
Yeah.
The girl didn't let go of it. It's her prized dog. It's a young dog. It's a puppy, 14 weeks old, a Bichon Frise. And then when she wouldn't let go of the lead, this guy smacked her in the face and then kicked the dog.
That's just the weirdest thing.
It's horrible, isn't it? It really is really disgusting.
Is it an expensive dog?
It's worth £600. Yeah, it's a Valentine's present from her boyfriend.
But even so, £600, what would you... Unless he's desperate for the money, but you've got to be really desperate to do something as ridiculous as that.
Maybe he thought he could get away. Maybe he thought it'd be a quick way of getting £600, really.
Is there a big market for Bichon Frise? Dogs,
second-hand ones.
It's pretty easy
to sell dogs, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so, really, because you can't. Unless they're chipped, you can't track them.
But what a
weird and wonderful thing! You wouldn't expect it.
Well, you absolutely wouldn't, and certainly the victim didn't expect it, and she was very. She spoke to us, and it's really sort of affected her. She's afraid to go out alone. Actually, at the moment, I mean, hopefully, she will. Pull through, and things will slowly over time improve. But it's an awful thing to have to deal with, especially when I think, as she said, lots of people come up to her because she's got a nice dog, and people like to come up and talk to you when you've got a dog. It's one of the like a little magnet. People come up to you and talk to you and go, "Oh, aren't they a lovely dog?" And I think this is what she thought the chap was going to do, and it turns out he did quite the opposite. Fortunately, the dog is on the mend as well. Initially, there were fears that he may have had to lose a leg or be put down, actually, but he's made a kind of rather remarkable recovery.
He's made a recovery and he's back home now as well. So it's kind of like things are going in the right direction for this guy. Now, but it's still like we said, it's a shocking thing to have happened just when you're routinely taking your dog out for a walk.
What's a bizarre story? It's just a bizarre story in general. Yeah. Right? You wouldn't expect it. You hear a lot about this it went through a spate of children with their trainers having it done, people stealing their trainers, and that was weird enough. And then it went on the mobile phones, people were just smashing someone and taking their mobile phone. But now it's just getting desperation, it's ridiculous.
On the dogs, yeah. And we might as well just drop in here. Police, we've got a pretty good description of what this chap looks like.
Oh, yeah,
So if we can just have a quick read through this, that'd be good, just so we can remind people. It was in St. James's Road that the incident happened.
Yeah.
And the chap ran off down St. James's Road towards Worley Hill. So if you can picture where that is. He ran back towards Brentwood Railway Station. And police have said he's described as black. He was aged around 30. And he's 6 foot tall, so quite a tall chap of medium build.
Yeah.
And on Friday afternoon, about 20 past six this was, so commuters, anyone getting off a train 20 past six-ish soon after, think one who you might have seen, is wearing a grey bobble hat, a black hooded jacket, and black jogging bottoms. That is the description that this young lady was able to give.
Which sounds quite nondescript, but actually, when you're getting off a train and there's loads of people in suits, seeing someone matching that description running or walking fast towards you, you may remember that, and I think that those kind of details might help. I mean, one of the nice things you get to do in the press is give air or throw some light on situations like this. And as we've seen, previously there've been situations where actually it's resulted in in charges being brought or in some cases in conviction. But yeah, it does help.
Fingers crossed we can catch him before he does it again.
Hope so. Hopefully we'll be able to come back and tell you that there's something's happened as a result of this or being in the paper. I mean, we had over 30,000 unique viewers read the original story. That is on the strength of celebrities. I think that Mickey Norcross.
Ricky Raymond.
I say celebrities with inverted commas. but they were retweeted by people with lots of followers. Shall we say?
Yeah, that's good.
Got the message out there.
Something else I want to talk to you about is on page 14 and 15. It was the councillor's casebook, the Brentwood councillor's casebook. Right. There's a very, very interesting point being raised about this.
Here we go. Okay, so about 18 months ago, probably about that sort of time, the Gazette ran a series of stories, but it culminated in a story about councillor's casework. It was a great front page, actually, even if I do say so myself. It was our Top Trumps edition, where we produced Top Trumps cards of all the councillors, and every councillor we had sort of statistics to show the amount of casework they'd done. This is work that residents get in touch and say, oh, there's a broken paving slab, for example, can you fix it? So the councillor then logs this on a system and then it hopefully gets sorted out. So, among a number of other things, that all of this data was sort of collated and we produced Top Trump cards. Okay, this was 18 months ago, so we did a lot of these stories. A whole bunch of councillors, namely the Conservatives. I'm not being kind of particularly out of order, it just happens to be fact, appeared at the bottom of this table. At the time, one councillor, Councillor Alan Braid, recorded zero casework. So that means, according to the system and according to the figures that were pulled out of the system, either no residents contacted him, and read into that what you will, or he decided that he wouldn't do any casework. This is according to the statistics. Now, what the councillors said at the time is that they don't use the system. They don't use the system because it ties them down. It slows them down. They don't need to because they're the administration. They're the party that's ruling. So they go straight to the officers and get it sorted. Right. Move forward a year, we did another story, and despite the criticism that the councillors faced, lo and behold, the same bunch of councillors appeared at the bottom of the table. No one's using the system still, and the argument yet again is, we don't use the system, there's no point to the system, blah blah blah. And 6 months down the line, yet again we've done the same, we looked at the same data, and it seems that the same councillors are yet again appearing at the bottom of this table.
Really?
Again, so we've got Alan Braid again recording zero casework. And the response from the council again, well, from the Conservative Party, is that the system is not fit for purpose. There's no point to it because they don't need to use the system. One of the things that came out in the last story 6 months ago is that officers will log casework on behalf of councillors if they hear about it, which was a slight thorn in the side of that argument. The biggest thorn, unfortunately, in the side of the argument is that the very party that criticises the system was the very party that introduced the system in the first place.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so, that's quite shocking.
So, we're in a situation whereby you either say, how do we, as taxpayers, scrutinise our councillors to know that we're getting value for money? Do we use the system that the party themselves have put in place to allow us to do that? Or do we ignore it because they tell us it's not fit for purpose and it's not, and we shouldn't use it because they don't use it? And assume that they're all doing lots of work. I unfortunately don't think that the party can have it both ways. I think they either need to scrap the system and come up with a new way to allow people to understand best how their council tax is being, the tax that they pay is being used, or they actually start using the system and give us a truer picture. Because in all three cases, for the last three times we've done this, one councillor, that's Councillor Alan Braid, has recorded zero pieces of casework. Looking at it purely from a statistical point of view, that would suggest that he's done zero work on behalf of the
It would suggest that
of the voters. Would suggest that's what the figures suggest.
There's supposed to be transparency in their job, though, aren't they?
Well, exactly.
See what we do on your behalf, because at the end of the day, they work for us.
Yes, and I think sometimes that's forgotten.
I think it's forgotten.
I think there are a lot. I mean, I really went down one road on this and sort of laid into the poor performers, statistically poor performers, I should add. There are a great deal, and the vast majority of councillors are very, very hardworking. And you know, we have some particularly high performing councillors of all colours. We have Conservative councillors who fare particularly well on the table. They've done very well. I mean, Louise McKinley, the leader, always comes out well on the table. And a number of other Conservative councillors do use it, which seems strange, as some use it, some don't. But a lot of the opposition councillors as well. You know, I think Karen Chilvers is at the top yet again, recording something like 216 pieces of casework since in the 6 month period. What I find most baffling about the argument that they don't use the system, okay? Mm. I could understand it if with Alan Brady, okay, so we don't use the system. I've got zero pieces of casework. I don't use the system. Fair enough, that's okay. You don't use the system. I can just about believe that. So why then do we have councillors who've recorded two pieces of casework?
Yeah, that does seem a bit fishy.
That
seems more fishy than the zero.
Exactly. If you don't use it, why use it twice?
Yeah, that's... That does seem to be the fly in the ointment.
It does.
Someone shot themselves in the foot there, haven't they?
It's a baffling situation, and one of the things that we love it at the Gazette. We love just sitting there watching them all and having a good laugh. And we've lined them up as the usual suspects from the film in the paper, and you know, it's all a great laugh for us. But you know, the laughing stops, and you start thinking, well, hang on a minute.
It's quite a serious matter.
This is some money.
It is
here,
a serious matter. Like, there's money.
Absolutely,
this comes back down to the amount of tax. Payers' money that is being spent possibly needlessly for hiring somebody that isn't particularly doing anything.
Absolutely. And helpfully we've provided the amount of their monthly allowance for the readers to all have a look at and scrutinise alongside the amount of casework that they've all done. I think this continues to be a really important topic and something worthy of continued debate.
Totally.
with all around the table with the different councillors, because it just seems to me that you know we've got this system that you know the opposition councillors all use it. They all say it's great. They all think it's a good way of measuring it. The people who introduced it say that it's not fit for purpose, but they wouldn't advocate getting rid of it, which is another bizarre aspect of it.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Anyway, so
if it's
so,
not
so,
right,
so there
you
we
change
have it.
It. Yeah.
It's all there. You've got in on pages 14 and 15. You've got councillors saying exactly why they don't use it. You've got councillors saying why they do use it, you can read for yourself and scrutinise the figures. So it's in the Gazette this week.
I know this is springing you on you a little bit.
Yep.
I'm going to ask you to recall some information here. I read something on page 8 about the high street paving.
Now, this
the reason it's stuck in my mind. I know that we haven't spoken about this, so if you want to just have a record, so you can have a look, or you can just go from memory. I was in a cafe in Brentwood High Street, and I was looking at the paving. It is appalling, and you've actually picked this up on page 8.
Yeah, we have picked it up on page 8. 5 years ago,
it cost a fortune.
£7 million.
An absolute fortune.
Yeah, and it was quite controversial at the time, actually, when they did the high street. They sort of pebble dashed it, I suppose. Is that quite the term? It's not quite the term, is it? But anyway, they covered it in pebbles yeah. And gave it a whole load of new paving slabs. It was controversial what it was done. People didn't actually like it. A lot of people... were slipping up on it when it was icy, and equally it closed down one end of the high street, and a lot of traders were saying they were losing business out of it. So it didn't have a particularly kind of comfortable birth. So move on 5 years. People are noticing cracks, paving slabs up.
That's terrible.
As you said,
just 5 years. That's terrible. That should last a lot longer than that.
You know, when you think about it, again, yet again, we've got a situation where there's with its taxpayers' money being spent on something which appears to be not fit for purpose.
£7 million worth of.
Exactly.
That's a lot of money.
You would think, one might hope, that £7 million in the high street would be an investment, not just a sort of, you know, like a sort of lipstick sort of approach where you're just sort of glossing it over for a bit. I mean, it's extraordinary. So what we've done a number of stories on this. Working with the Renaissance Group, who are a group that whose interests, they serve the interests of Brentwood from a kind of consumer perspective, and also just improving the town. They've been up and down the high street, and we've produced a map and pointed out. I mean, some of the places where there were cracks and stuff, and actually it's phenomenal. I mean, well, I think we've picked out, how many have we got there? Is it 14 or 15 or something?
There's more than that.
We've put in the paper. We couldn't fit them all in the paper.
About 20 of them here.
I mean, it wasn't the most riveting job, I'm sure, that Matt the reporter had going and taking pictures of broken paving stones, but it does actually paint somewhat of a picture. And more interestingly, on this tour that we did, we had a chap from he's a stonemason, is that right?
Yeah, Keith Fox.
Fox. F-A-U-X.
Yeah,
is that Faux,
right,
or Fox?
I don't know. Make it own mind.
We got someone called Kieran Faux or Fox. We never got sure who works.
Let's
works
call
on the
him
desk.
Keith.
Let's call him Keith. Yeah. He's an expert in this, and he thinks that about 60% of it needs to be done again.
60% of it?
This is what he thinks.
Not enough cement was used when the paving stones were put down.
So £4.3 million out of seven has to be done again.
Well, that is his assessment of it. The County Council were unable to respond to us before we went to press.
Well, Keith's response to whether it was money well spent went as far as, I wouldn't say it's £1 million well spent.
Really?
Yeah,
that is really, really shocking.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, funnily enough, actually, we've done a number of stories, and looking back at it, actually, it wouldn't be a bad idea for next week, actually. We just do a pull out all the stories we've done about people falling over, because actually there have been quite a few in the last few years, just people slipping up and complaining about...
Certain parts of it are terrible.
It's horrendous.
They are terrible.
Yeah. It's horrendous. And I wonder, actually, because, you know, very often... we're fortunate enough to have people call us and tell us about things, and you know, when you see sort of ambulances turn up on the high street and there's a sort of mass of people and someone takes a quick picture and sends it to us, and it's very often someone who's fallen over or there's something's happened, and it makes you wonder if these paving slabs are at fault in these cases.
Yeah.
The big problem's going to be, actually, in actual fact, you know, we're hoping we're not there, you know, like America yet, but you know, people see this and they start thinking, well, hang on a minute, I've fallen over for a paving slab, I'm going to get some lawyers onto the council, because this has been badly done.
That's all you need, and it's a £4.3 million will cost you can...
It's already happening with the potholes, isn't it? People are taking the council to court over that.
Well, that does terrible damage to your wheels and the car and the suspension and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
so
completely.
It's all totally understandable, but that's the worst case scenario. You don't
the
want
very
to go
foundations
down that
road. Of our society
exactly.
Are falling away.
Exactly, totally. Well, boys, thank you very much for coming in. Come in and see us again next Wednesday.
Happy to.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.